This is The Party with Serene and Pearl.
Ready to go.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
It's Wednesday, and it's time for the Trim Healthy Podcast with Serene, Pearl, and I'm Danny Valdez. And we're so glad you tuned in.
Oh, my goodness. You were pretending, right?
Yes.
No, that's
that
the new me.
That was a cross between
that's the new me.
A game
annoying.
Show.
Yeah.
One. And.
And somebody trying really hard.
You were interviewing for a radio
yes.
show.
Hey,
radio
they still show. Do that on HGTV. Like, if that's, that voice is still relevant. I thought it
do
would.
It, do it.
No, because I hear on HGTV, they have a millennial lady's voice. Usually it's like, and now let's go look at this space.
No, come on. You've heard. It's like. Mark and Janice tore down their third wall, but they weren't expecting there to be termites. What are they going to do?
It's so true.
It's just like, who's still hiring that guy? Here's the thing. He's probably talks just like a normal
you
person.
You were doing that so you people could hear you and hire you for that.
What if they did? What if they could?
What if they could?
Yeah, what if they could?
Hey, we have it. With Serena and I've just like have our head in our computers right now because when we got on the phone this morning, we riffed about this party that we're about to do, and we were just hashing it out. We had to finally get off the phone about 45 minutes, but now that we're going to do it,
well, the problem is Pearl's writing a book called Trim Healthy Wisdom,
yeah,
and that is all about postmenopausal and how to be really wise in that season.
Well, it's actually not, Serena. You got it all wrong.
Well, it's actually
what a commercial
not.
For your new
it,
book.
It can be like way before then too. Yeah. It's basically about having wisdom in the different seasons of your life,
especially when you're stuck.
Especially when you're
good
stuck.
Good job.
And also, she is coming from the angle of walking through the whole pre yeah. and postmenopausal yeah. system, because that's when people women can get stuck when their hormones kind of get it right. And I'm writing a book called Trim Healthy Grow, and that's all about pregnancy and nursing and how to fuel yourself in that time and also fueling your babies and toddlers. So we've been doing a lot of study, and out of these studies, we've been getting excited about different things.
Yes, we've got more information, and obviously you will hear this stuff, and we'll put it all in our books nicely and succinctly, and we'll say where the studies are from and everything.
And we'll sound intelligent in yeah. the books, but right now...
Right now, we're just going to hash and throw it all out there the way we do, we chat. But Serena and I, we felt like, should we just leave it in their books, or should we bring it now? And Serena's like, no, it's good for them to hear it twice, right?
Yes, exactly. And also... It's kind of a little bit of a hash of what we've been talking about a lot in the past year on the potties about not getting stuck in the trends and not just getting on the train of what's happening in society diet-wise, but really being smart and looking in at the research and the studies where people have been doing it more long time and term.
Long term. And I do want to say, you know, when Serena and I first came out with Trim Healthy Mama, we'd come from a different diet. Serene had come from many years of veganism. I'd come from veganism too, but then you had raw food 7 years, plant food only. I'd come from that, plus I'd done some keto, a little bit of keto. I'd done my own standard American diet, little bits here and there, not much. And I had done like a whole grain Jane, lots yeah. of whole good, you know, whole grain breads, lots
but
of maple
it was never
syrup,
cultured
honey.
Or sprouted or anything.
It was just, you know, it was imbalanced. Regular, yeah. Scared of butter and scared of fats and all that. So when we came to Trim Healthy Mama, we were one of, you know, we were sort of on the forefront of saying, hey, fats are good, people. We need to stop demonizing butter. There are health benefits to
and
butter.
And we believe that.
You know, there was coconut oil. Sure, you can. And we realized there was a big train at the time. Good job, Serene, just spilt the water. People at that time were even still scared of butter. Lots of women like wouldn't dare to put butter on their plates, you know, and so we were going against that. We definitely, though, understood the need for carbs, didn't we, Serene? And we did the whole chapters on the emails and the importance of them.
Oh, yeah.
But I do feel now, looking back, we didn't have the big picture that we do now.
Exactly. Yeah, because we were kind of... Yeah, jumping back to another frying pan because we were trying to balance ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of went out of the heat and ignorantly went into some more heat.
Well, where we'd come from the vegan lifestyle, especially of like eating 3 or 4 bananas at one sitting, like for your meal, dumb yeah. stuff like
no
that.
No protein.
I used to eat a whole box of raisins when I was a vegan. Like, no, I'm not talking about the little box, Danny, that you give your children.
No, I'm talking about the full pack. It was our
the
steak.
Family size.
Those are like
diarrhea nuggets.
Not for me. It was just like blood sugar. I was just like send it through the roof. I didn't understand about, you know, controlling your blood sugar.
Raisins are candy if you're like not addicted to sugar.
Yeah.
Literally, I had never had a grain of sugar in my life and I would go for colonics because I was a health nut and I was all about cleansing and all of that as a vegan. And they were saying, do you drink? And I was young at the time. I was like 16 when this was happening. And they're like, your whole digestive system is like filled with this frothy beer looking alcohol. And I'm like, I don't drink at all. Like, you know, I'm kind of a health nut and I'm young, by the way. And they said, well, it's just all fermenting. It's just too much sugar in here.
Sugar. And it was all from natural fruit sugars. Yeah. Isn't that hilarious? She juiced fruits and she ate dried fruits and she ate fruit all day.
So they have people that are like only fruit. What are they called?
Fruitarians.
Were you a fruitarian?
No, because I had veggies too, but I had no protein. Yeah. Whoa.
Oh, well, you would order some like hemp protein powders or something now and then. Or not back then.
No, not back then. It was just all plant crazy. Yeah.
So anyway, we were coming from that, which was an extreme, right? So then we finally like got some grounding, understood the need for protein and balanced blood sugar, and we developed Trim Healthy Mama. And we said, but hey, carbs are obviously still important, right? Let's not forget them. Let's have e-meals.
Yes.
But we said, you know what? You're going to love S meals more probably. So that's okay. Just don't forget your carbs. Never forget them. Maybe have like 3 to 5 E meals a week at the minimum, please, because they're very important.
Yes. But, you know, in our diet, you know, if I'm going to be honest, we would mentally ascend to this. But, you know, maybe the heart of it for me was like, yeah, but they're a bit second class citizen because, you know, I've so abused them in my life. So I may have had like 3 emails a week only. Yeah. You know, sometimes I do like a whole week of just S.
Yeah. Sometimes I'd have a bit more. I used to love my apple cottage cheese salad and sweet potato here and there, but I certainly didn't do them like I did now. So we went through years of that and you know, we watched everyone around us and we took our journey, and all this time we've kept studying and we've kept watching what happens to ourselves. And as I went through perimenopause and then menopause and now I'm postmenopause, I realized something. The less carbs I ate, the more stuck I got with my weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The more healthy carbs I ate, and not just carbs, but protecting your blood sugar carbs, e-meals where they're protected.
Yeah, not cheat meals.
Not cheat meals, e-meals where you use the healthy carbs. The more I could not get stuck and control my weight. And so true. We started looking into
it. And my situation was not like I was getting stuck, but I ate so pristinely and low carb and even though I, you know, believed in emails, like we said, but a lot of exercise and the weight just stayed stable. But really, for the lifestyle I was participating in, I should have been dropping pounds by the day. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't. I was just stable me, just regular stable me. And it was almost like it wasn't a plateau at a bad place, but it was a plateau. It just was kind of a stuck place, even at a good place. And so, but it was strict to be there. Strict. Like
you'd wake up always to skinny chocolate, then you'd get fried eggs. And that was like, you never veer away from it for a while.
And it wasn't celebratory, like the harvest is in the field. Let me like celebrate. The sun is up, you know, let's get festive with life. No, I was very strict. And I started just getting into a little bit more carbs. And I'm like, my weight is not going up. It's actually going down.
And I'd say you have to eat crossovers, girl.
And then I'd add a few more carbs into my diet, being a little more lenient. And it wasn't the exercise or the strictness that was making me lose weight. It was the giving over to just allowing more carbohydrates. I would just start losing.
So today we want to, I guess, label this party, which just sounds odd for a Trim Healthy Mama, but we want to label it, you need glucose.
And the reason why we're bringing it now is kind of a holiday theme too, because the holidays are here and of course it's usually a time for a lot of sugar for people. But if you're a Trim Healthy Mama, you switch it the other way because you use all our healthy sweeteners, hopefully, and you don't just, you might have a piece of Aunt Marge's pecan pie here or there, but mostly your treats are going to be the healthy sweeteners, but they'll be higher in the fats.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole season may be very high in the fats for you, but very low in the carbohydrates, because your treats will be more like S meals.
So the healthy ones. And then, you know, maybe you balance, you know, your off-plan sugar binges with, oh, let me go back to a Trim Healthy Mama S meal. So we want to urge you to stay away from the imbalance of fueling your body maybe with cheats, with sugar, and then only going back to like cream cheese, Trim Healthy Mama desserts.
Right.
We're going to show you a different way and we're gonna do this season.
Eating carbohydrates, healthy, gentle ones, and having emails can be festive and can be super celebratory and satisfying and fill you with happiness because they fill you with serotonin.
And yes, absolutely. But we're not saying, of course, don't make your homemade, you know, cheesecakes with gentle sweet.
Please do,
obviously, because it's way better than the sugar stuff. But we're also saying
keep the balance.
Yeah, keep the balance and still have emails, even if you go off and cheat. Okay, even if you have too much, you go into a party and you have sugar and you cave to all the ridiculous stuff and you think, oh, I'm just going to do S for a week because I've over-sugared my body. No.
Yeah.
Yes, sure, have a couple of deep S meals, but get those E's in and we're going to talk about why.
Yeah.
You need glucose because it is your body's preferred fuel. Your body thrives on it. Now, the keto people say, well, you can live on ketones. Well, you can run on ketones. And certainly some children that have seizures and stuff, that is a way to keep them from having seizures. But for the most of us who are not, do not have the problem with seizures, we need glucose to run smoothly, to run energetically, and to keep our metabolisms really thriving. And here's why. Even a latest study has come out, and I'm going to describe it to you, what happened, is that low-carb diets in the long term can actually cause insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what the heck? I mean, doesn't sugar and high carbs cause too much insulin in your body? And then your cells are so stuffed with blood sugar, they can't accept anymore. So they resist insulin. And then
yes,
you get
that's one theory.
Diabetes. And
just
it's true.
One part
it's step
of the
one.
Story.
Ooh, so can I guess?
Yep.
Is it because the body is adaptive? It
well,
changes
yes.
how it processes
well,
things.
Well, you're kind of right there, Danny. I'm just going to go to the page of my book. And I talk about this in my Trim Healthy Wisdom book, but I'm just going
to
while
you're looking it up then, just to have some fill-in. It can also happen to pregnant women who are keto or very low-carb paleo, just very, very low-carb for their pregnancy. They will fail the glucose test.
Mm.
Very often, they will fail the glucose test because their bodies it's changed how they can eat. They can't even deal with the proper amount of carbs properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything adapts and changes. And I also think it's a lot to do with what Pearl's about to discuss. And I don't want to give it away. So I'll wait for you, Pearl.
Okay. Okay. Exactly what you said, Danny. So if you go constant low carb, your body adapts to a lack of need to burn carbs, which then stunts your ability to burn them properly, right? Because you're not used to it, but it's more than that.
This feels so good. I never got anything right in school.
No, you got it right. You see, you're so smart because you're the host of the 2018
the number one.
Who cares about 2021?
Yeah,
who cares about
that matters?
They're all awash at this point anyway.
This leads to a poor tolerance of all carbs altogether, even non-starchy ones like carbs and veggies and broccoli and lettuce leaves. Ridiculous, right? What? Okay. Yes, it can happen and it's happening. Like, think about it. Sit on a couch a day and never use your legs. What happens? Your legs atrophy, right?
Yeah.
Never give your body carbs. Your fuel burning ability atrophies.
Mm.
Basically, you get more insulin resistant, not because your cells are too stuffed with sugar. That is one way that it's happening and it's happening galore that way. But another way is because of this thing. They get lazy and out of practice. But not because their nature is to be lazy. Here's why. Your brilliant, amazing body is trying to keep you alive through not accepting insulin.
And keep your baby alive in the pregnancy thing that I was
saying. So, your brain is the most important thing in your body, right? Your brain shuts down, you die straight away. So, your brain needs glucose. People say, oh, your brain can use ketones. It can. There's a longer way it has to happen. It's not an instant fuel. So your body becomes stressed about that, but your brain actually still needs some glucose. It can't thrive on all ketones. It still needs some glucose. So So your cells actually, they become like a mother sacrificing her life for her baby. And your muscle cells say, I will stop accepting any glucose that I'm given just so my brain can stay alive. My brain needs it more than I need it. And so they will say no to insulin. In other words, resist insulin, insulin resistant, right? And this has just come out in a study. So researchers are beginning to look at some of the negative effect of constant low-carb diets. And a study first published in 2018 in the Journal of Physiology found troubling results. Christian Wolfram, PhD, a professor at ETH Zurich and co-author of the research, concluded with this study, although ketogenic diets are known to be healthy, our findings indicate that there may be an increased risk of insulin resistance with this type of diet that may lead to type 2 diabetes.
You know, just another, not trying to bash diets here at all, but with the keto diet, even for adolescents, I just was reading a study just for my book that I was trying to get some information for. And they did a study, a large study of adolescents, and found that, was it 45% of the girls in the study, of the participants, 45% had amenorrhea, which is missing cycles, started getting missing the cycles, delayed cycles, and delayed puberty if they were young enough, which all reported resuming to back to normal when they brought back carbohydrates into their diet.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
I'm Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Yeah, it's so interesting, especially us women. I think, you know, we were created to be life givers, right? And so during the time when we're still cycling, you know, Serene's discovered just such an important need. We need to, even did a potty on this about the carbs, you know.
Well, can I just talk a little bit about that
before your
real
period
quickly?
And during your period? Yeah. All the studies. Yes, you may, Serene, go on about
well,
that.
Well, I mean, it's all here and I've written it down like all intelligently. But I'll just smash it off the top of my head, you know, just right here to you. And it may not sound so clear. But happy hormones come from a body that is convinced that it is not in danger. And when you take away from your body the most easy fuel, the first and preferred fuel, you're saying danger. You're letting your body get into a position where it starts to get worried. And what happens is, let's introduce, you've all heard about insulin if you've read the Trim Healthy book and, you know, just being alive today, everyone hears about insulin. But does everybody know about leptin? Many people do, but just quickly to introduce, leptin is a hormone in the body that's job, one of its jobs is to be kind of like the thing that runs around your body and finds out how much energy, what are your energy reserves? It finds out the tally, the total. What are the energy reserves? And if you don't have enough energy reserves, your body's like freaking out. I'm in a dangerous position. Now, you need glucose to get enough leptin in your body because your leptin is realizing there's not enough energy if there's not enough glucose. So if we don't have carbohydrates in our diet, if we lower them too much, we're getting into a situation that can affect our reproduction. They can affect our cycles. And some women are like, well, I've perfectly cycled for, you know, for years. I have a perfect, you know, 28 days or whatever. It doesn't mean actually that your luteinizing hormone is actually working perfect or there's the proper luteal phase. It can all be mixed up within 28 days as well. But maybe it affects you in a different way, just with agitation. Maybe it affects you with the fact that you're having a hard time losing weight. Because when you have low leptin levels, your body starts thinking to itself, oh man, I need to get more energy. So I need to eat more. So you get hungry. And so having proper leptin levels that comes from eating proper amounts of carbohydrates brings satiety to your body. And it starts to let your body relax and say, I don't need to be eating constantly. And when you have low leptin levels, you tend to eat more because you have this hungry feeling. But your body also says, I need to burn less. I need to burn less calories. I need to burn less fat because I need to get my energy reserves up. And so eating carbohydrates allows our leptin levels to get to the point where our body says, hey, I can start to eat less because I'm satiated. It's not something, it's not like in your brain, it's your body. So you don't notice you're eating less. You just are. And it says, and I can burn more because I've got enough energy. So I don't mind your body at rest will actually burn more. Mm-hmm. So leptin is an important thing, and you cannot have adequate levels unless you have adequate carbohydrate intake, because the carbohydrate intake, it puts natural insulin in your body, and you cannot have proper leptin without proper insulin.
Yeah, levels. And that's why those bodybuilder guys do the leptin resets.
Yes.
If they cut their body, so they really go without carbs for a few days, you know, if they're doing like a competition or whatever, they cut and they go really low carb, but then they have to, these bodybuilders, they know their bodies, then they have to do leptin refuels or else they'll be in big trouble in the metabolism tanks.
Yeah. What do you mean by trouble?
Well, their hormones tank, their metabolism tanks. They can't be at their optimum best. Mm-hmm. They no longer gain muscle properly. All of these things happen to them.
So this if they don't breakdown.
They realize they have to reset their leptin, and they do that through big carb meals. Whoa. Now, you know, we don't advocate big carb meals. We advocate smart carb meals. But I wanted to talk about this whole female thing again. You know, Serena and I, we've been doing this for 10 years now, Walking with Women, since our book. I mean, we knew this stuff before the book, but for 10 years, I at least.
It's 12 now.
12. Is it? No, 10 years why? Since the book came out, baby.
Since the book came out.
Yeah.
But writing this book.
Well, that's 15.
Yeah. It's just that Breezy just turned 12 and she's a baby on the front. That's kind of how I work it out in my head.
Yeah, it's 10 since we released, almost. You know, and so I feel like we've been walking this journey with women. Right. Well, I mean, I have on the groups every day. It's been like real time watching what happens to food and woman and nutrition. And one thing I've realized through this deep dive of walking with people that most diet authors would only hope to get, because we have instant access to all of you guys that listen and you tell us what you're going through and we tell you, and we're all doing this together. Right. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that I've discovered from watching all of you, from watching myself, is that we women are very different to men.
Yes.
And we were made to be life givers. And I feel like because we're life givers, even after menopause, and I'm going to get to that, our bodies will not tolerate extremes for very long.
Yes.
Because if we're to give life, we're set that even if we've never had a baby, it doesn't matter. We're female, right? So we are life givers.
That's the way our body functions, right? Yes.
When you start to pull away certain nutrients that females need, that the human body needs, because I have to continue the cycle of life and breed and do all of that, bad things happen.
Yeah.
And so when you go too low carb for too long, things begin to shut down. I mean, there's the adrenal cortex, there's the thyroid hormone. All of these rely on this form of our very first fuel, which is glucose. And our bodies and our brains, tremendous need for glucose. And it is tremendous.
It is.
It's part of the why these bad things start to happen when we pull it away. And I just would say to any of you, I beg of you, if you're going through adrenal fatigue or anything, any hormonal dysfunction.
Well, there's an axis between between the hypothalamic, pituitary, and the ovarian system. It's called the HPO axis.
Yeah.
And all of that has to work together. And all of it is actually nursed and nurtured by proper carbohydrate intake.
Which is,
You know, there's something called the female athlete triad. And it's to do with the triad of that axis. And it's where, you know, athletes will actually lose their cycles or they'll just be messed up hormonally. I had a sister-in-law that trained for a marathon and lost her cycle for like a year. Mm-hmm. She didn't even change the way she ate. But anyway, that was interesting. But it can be from different things, but especially can come from not being nurtured properly with your carbohydrate intake. But the reason for that is because of this loss of energy in your body. And a lot of people, scientists, for a while thought this female athletic triad syndrome came because maybe they lost too much weight or it was the stress of exercise causing them to be hormonally imbalanced and to lose their femaleness working in a beautiful way, you know, because if you're not cycling properly and you're in the right age to do that, you're not working properly. Your body's not working properly. But you know what researchers are finding now? No, there's actually women that are not over-exercising and they're even overweight and they're showing the same symptoms as those athletes. So they're starting to realize it's actually not as simple as, oh, they're exercising too much or they're losing too much body fat, which does play a role. But the overall issue is your body realizes you're not giving me enough proper energy.
Mm.
And it's the energy that comes that you don't have to work super hard for, because all these, this ketone and everything, it can be fine for a while, but it's harder on your body. It's a lot of a slower process. And if you're not actually allowing your body to have that first preferred fuel in a balanced way in your diet, your body's going to say, hey, my energy is not where it should
be. Yeah, so it lowers its set point.
So,
you burn less fuel. I mean, it's so fascinating. The more we learn and the more we realize the need for carbs. Now, S meals still have their absolute place.
Because we could do a whole party on the importance of fat. If you would go extreme and start doing a I don't know, meto diet, or let's change the name and it's just carbs alone and no fats, and fats are from the devil.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have problems there too. But right now the trend is all of this keto, keto, keto. And we're trying to say, hey, no, actually, one of the most important fuels there is.
Yeah, and we've just discovered more and more. Like, at first we were saying, hey, yeah, include emails. But now we're shouting it from the rooftops because the evidence is just there. And you think, well, okay, that's great for cycling women, but now I'm menopause or postmenopause. I don't need that anymore. My whole body, you know, burns slower anyway. But I still believe that as a life giver, extremes always backfire, even if you are postmenopausal. I still believe we have to give the body what it needs. And so now it brings me to two different things. I want to talk a little about intermittent fasting. As soon as some of us get to menopause, right? They say, well, many diet book authors say, well, you got to get to fasting now because if you're giving your body that much fuel, no matter what it is, you know, you just can't burn it or your hormones slow down and all of this. But a recent study came out that's pretty interesting. I've got a whole chapter in my book on intermittent fasting, and I don't hate people that do it. Some people try to do it in my own life. Like, I've got friends sitting in this room that fast. You know, we just agree to disagree. But I can't refute what I'm seeing. And I do believe, and this is why I show in my book, Trim Healthy Wisdom, that there are ways to lose stubborn weight without
fasting. We also went to that anti-aging conference where all the doctors were there, Pearl.
Yeah.
Not all the doctors in the world, but all the anti-aging doctors in America that just kind of met at this summit and were talking. And they were all about intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing they said is it doesn't really help our waistlines.
Yeah. No, I know.
They were doing it for different reasons.
I met a guy who was a bodybuilder, and he said the only way he could put on weight was intermittent fasting.
Right, because the metabolism
can lower your set point. Yeah. Well, I just read a book because I do want to study the pros and cons of fasting. I just read a book. It's on my nightstand. What's the name of it? And it was all about lowering insulin. And because insulin is a problem as we get older, as our sex hormones decline, insulin goes up. Because as your sex hormones decline, your muscle synthesis declines. And so your muscles open up for insulin, so they no longer open up as much. So there's many reasons, right?
Right.
And so let's just say you're menopausal like me. You have more insulin circulating in your body.
Because the protein synthesis isn't working the same.
So then when you eat more, and when you eat proteins or when you eat carbs, okay, so then you're putting more insulin in your body and it gets too much. And insulin is a very important hormone. It's an anabolic hormone, but it's also a fat-storing hormone. So if you start with more insulin, right, and then, you know, you're eating all these meals, well, then the theory is you're going to have even more insulin and you just can't lose the weight no matter what you do. So, okay, that's sort of, it kind of makes sense, right? And so this book said fasting is the best way to get your insulin down. And granted, this guy is absolutely right. Fasting will drop your insulin, you know, like a hot potato. It will decline because you're not having food. Mm-hmm. And so your body is not having to send insulin in there to clear your food. So yes, they have a point. But there's a sinister side to it.
And like the sinister side where, you know, during pregnancy and after a while on the diet, how you actually become insulin resistant with less insulin.
Yeah. And so, but the other problem is when we get menopause or when we lose our hormones, our muscles, as I said, start depleting. Like, you know, we start losing muscle mass after about 30, like a certain amount every year. It's quite bad. And so
Sarcopenia.
So you really have to work against it. You have to lift some weights. You have to do body resistance or else you're going to turn into a noodle. And that ages you. The thing that keeps you youthful is your muscle mass, mm-hmm. right? And so that's why we have protein in our meals and things. But then what do you do when you're postmenopausal and protein spikes your insulin?
Because why does it spike your insulin? And Pearl was trying to describe it, but she did a great job. But I'll just reiterate that. Because your protein synthesis, your protein turning and being received into your muscle tissue and turning into more muscle mass, that slows down when your hormones are depleted. So instead of being used by your muscles, it's just sitting there in your bloodstream. So that's one good thing about bioidentical hormones.
Yeah, that's very true. But there are ways to do it.
Does balanced eating, is that the idea here, that balanced eating fixes
I would just
this?
Go get bioidentical hormones.
Yeah, but there's other ways to do it. I mean, I've worked with myself
prior to that.
Man, I'm trying to find this in my book.
Well, do you want me to talk while you're finding it?
No, because I'm right on this subject.
Okay,
I wrote down page 98.
She's on the cusp.
Okay, so there's this study. Because all the fasters said, okay, you got to fast. I'm not against spiritual fasting, of course.
No, because God counts
all
that.
And I'm not. Listen, fasting's always been done by humans at certain points.
Yeah.
I'm not against a fast if you want to do it. I personally hate fasting, right? But if you want to do it like once a month or something for a couple of days, that's fine. I'm just saying if you're doing it day in, day out,
and you're doing it to lose weight.
If your metabolic set point is just going
to lower. Or doing it because you're too busy to make breakfast.
Yeah, well, yeah, Dan.
Is that
Dan.
Fasting?
Yeah, it is.
That's a bad fasting.
It is fasting.
It's just fasting for idiots.
I'm just. Yeah, yes, you can, babe, but I've got to find the study, but you do that while.
We used to, at school, like primary school, like 10 years old, used to do like once a year, we used to do a fast.
Yeah.
Like a school-wide fast. And we raised money for something. But you think about that. That was like.
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you guys used to do it in Australia?
Yes.
I don't know if it was like.
We did.
If it was like
fast.
Seasonally, religiously based.
No,
and
you
I
raised
just
money.
Wasn't clued in. But it was like, Don't you feel like that's a little dangerous though for like 10 years old?
It's funny. Well, they all made it. I think at times it's fine for the body to go without food, but I think when it's a way to like to slim. So even at the end of this book I was reading. Okay, so I'm almost here now. Here we go. Here we go, babe. This guy said, so the best way to drop your insulin is to fast. Then at the end of the book, I was just like, okay, he's making a lot of good points. I think I have a better way to do it in my head. You know, I'm going to share it in my book. But he's got a point, you know, fasting will do it. And then at the end of the book, he said, now, granted, when you start fasting, you will come to stalls. And even fasting has to be taken to the next step. So you might start off at 16 hours, you know, eight hour window. You're going to have to stretch your window. Try a 12 hour window. In fact, you'll probably end up eating one meal a day. And
the Son of Man came eating and drinking,
happens
people.
To all of them. Okay, I promise. I'm telling you, even fasting will lower your metabolism more. And here's the other thing with fasting. It strips your muscle mass away.
Yes,
now, this was belittled by many of the fasters. I know there's good benefits of fasting. I know there's autophagy. And I know it cleanses your cells.
Other ways of doing that.
I know. But they can even heal cancer sometimes. There are benefits to doing it. But we're talking about weight loss here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there was a person that was very pro-fasting. It's a recent study. And they studied a 12-week study of participants who engaged in intermittent fasting. It was, in this case, it was 16 hours of fasting and 8 hours of eating. Well, they lost a whopping 65% of the lean body mass. That is their muscle mass, instead of the 20% normally expected with weight loss in this time frame. And one of the co-authors of the trial, Ethan Weiss, a cardiologist at the University of California, San Francisco, who was an avid follower of intermittent fasting before starting the study, said the findings were a surprise, and he no longer practices intermittent fasting because they lost so much muscle mass.
Yeah.
And that's the first study of its kind that showed that, you know, this intermittent fasting does. I'm not sure that a couple of days a month would do that, because you're going to, but what? Why is it? Because you're not giving your muscle cells that protein throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Because even if you just say, well, I sit down to this huge steak in my one meal a day. No, your body has a cutoff point for how much protein it can absorb at a sitting. And so as you got to put it on the slow drip.
Yeah.
You got to put it in the breakfast, and then in the little snack, and then in the lunch, and then in the dinner. So it's getting a little bit all throughout the day.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Does the body care if it's protein from like biting into chicken or powderized like in your hemp protein?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Thank you for that, Danny. And I think and this is part of what I show in my book, Trim Healthy Wisdom, biting into a chicken gives you a higher insulin rise. And that's a good
thing. That's a good thing when you've got your hormones going, because your body will.
At different times in your life, when you're growing or when you're cycling, when you're a younger woman or.
Yeah. Or when your hormones are right. Because when your hormones are right, your protein synthesis is working perfectly. You're going to turn it into muscle. You cannot put the protein into new muscle without insulin. Insulin is brilliant. That's why they call it the insulin-like growth factor. And the muscle builders, they try and incorporate that. And they'll have the sweet potato powder with their whey or something, you know.
I always believe in a beautiful balance of proteins, like our vegetable proteins with our meat proteins. You know, I believe that's natural, right? Yeah. But then once we lose our hormones and we don't have that same protein synthesis, that is when, in my book, Trim Healthy Wisdom, I talk about still keeping animal proteins in our diet.
Because it's important.
It is important, but balancing them with plant proteins that give a less rise of insulin resistance. So yes, that is when your hemp proteins can really come into play, you know, if you have insulin resistance and things like that.
This is great wisdom, you see, because not everybody's going to want to go and get bioidentical hormones.
But and it's a process, Serene. It's a journey.
It is a journey.
Things don't happen straight away with hormones either.
Right, exactly. It takes time. But Pearl's noticed since she has put them back in naturally and optimized her hormone levels with things that have come naturally from plants. This is not synthetic. And the whole blogosphere out there and half the doctors out there are not trained in knowing the difference between the synthetic and the bioidentical. And they just lump all the problems that came with the synthetic with the whole big swimming pool of all hormones.
Yeah. With hormone therapy.
But
here are the problems.
Yeah. But bioidentical therapy actually protects against the side effects that come from synthetic. It protects against strokes. It protects against clots. It protects against Alzheimer's and breast cancer and all of it. I'm really on a roll about it right now. Yeah. I really love researching about bioidentical hormones. But Pearl has noticed she can put a lot more animal protein back in her diet.
I can.
And she stays nice and slim because her hormones are back in
running. I don't struggle like with the stuckness that I used to. However, I'm still probably a little bit less animal protein than I was maybe when in my 30s.
But you're more balanced.
I am. I'm more balanced. That's what I am. But all this to say,
because you ate probably no plant protein in your 30s.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, except when I was vegan. But all this to say, what are we bringing to you? A hodgepodge of studies. We're just pulling it out of our head.
And I've got a lot to say still.
Okay. But all I want to say, I'll wrap up my little piece then. Mm-hmm. We need, and I've got a lot to say about glucose versus fructose though. But
that's important.
We need glucose.
Maybe
right?
This is where I exit.
Oh, you got to go, don't you, Dan? We're 38 minutes in.
I got to ride.
Oh, you got to ride.
Well, do you know what we're going to do?
He's got a big appointment.
We're going to make this a small podcast, and Dan's going to say a nice goodbye, and then can we do a number two?
Yeah,
today?
We can come back.
It feels like a part two.
Come back and do a part two.
You both said you have a lot to say.
Why do you want to do three?
Another half an hour.
Okay. And when you have a little bit to say, you say a lot.
It's true. I've still got a lot to bring.
So if you have a lot to say.
Like a super lot to bring.
Okay. Oh, I haven't even wrapped up this podcast though. I want to do a wrap up and then we'll start again.
Okay.
Can we wrap it up? All I want to say is you need glucose. In this holiday season.
And all I want to say is,
you need
glucose.
In this holiday season, but not only now, but forever. Have your e-meals because your body needs them. You can balance them with both plant protein if you're struggling with weight and some animal protein. Maybe your animal protein needs to go down just a little bit. You'll find your niche and I'll show you how in my book that's coming out next year. But don't pull it out completely, even if you cheat, okay? Even if you cheat, think, I'm going to do all S meals. No, no, no. You don't want to lower your metabolic set point.
That's right.
That was
my
wrap-up.
You don't want to lower your leptin.
No.
And your leptin comes from carbohydrates. So your leptin will tell you if you're satisfied and if you can burn fat.
Exactly. Danny, we're going to do a part two, but I feel like we just mishmashed this one. But
this was incredibly informative.
Okay. Well, in our books, it's going to be much more laid out.
So you gals are such inspirational speakers that when you get really down to the details, you're like, what have we even done here?
No, that's what I felt like.
It's like tremendous value information. Mm. Probably so many of the listeners are like, yeah, about time we had some stuff we can write down and some numbers. And
Well, I feel like when we're discovering it, we don't want to necessarily wait till our books come out either. I want you to start ruminating on some of this, you know, and then we'll have it all laid out beautifully
and
there.
And if we press stop now, then we can press start again because I'm ready to roll.
Yeah, it depends if Leslie and John have got time.
It's half an hour.
Okay, bye, Dan. Bye, you guys.
Bye,
see
Dan.
You in part two,
peace,
eh?
Homies. And then I'll be